So again, this is a second in a three-part homily series, anticipating the 205th anniversary of the founding of our country. Last week, we talked about pain and healing. This week, the theme is love of the Lord, love of family, and love of country. First, love of God. Is Christianity like other religions? In certain regards, yes, Christianity has similarities to other religions. If you ask a secular culture, though, it would want to put Christianity in the same box as all other religions and saying, no, Christianity is not different, it's just the same thing, and then it can easily be dismissed. I would suggest, though, if you look at the religions as they stand on their own, Christianity is unique among them for different reasons. One is how God is revealed. How God is revealed. So Christianity stands alone in that the founder makes a claim on divinity, on a divine essence. For example, look at Islam. Muhammad repeatedly describes himself as a human messenger of God and rejects being worshipped. Buddhism, the Buddha claimed enlightenment, not divinity. And obviously in Judaism, Moses, the traditional founder, doesn't claim to be God, but someone who speaks on God's behalf. And if you go to other world religions like Sikhism, the founder taught devotion to one God and rejected claims of personal identity. But Jesus stands alone among all these founders of world religions. He makes a case for being the presence of God on earth. And this is the fact: if Jesus is not God, then yes, then Christianity is like any other religion. And it doesn't make a difference which of these religions you follow. But if Jesus is God, that makes all the difference among all the world's religions. So, I bring this up because today's gospel is controversial. Today's gospel is challenged. And if you didn't feel the weight of this, I'll read the first verses again. Jesus said, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." This is a challenge. I mean, it's because, I mean, I think a lot of times the struggle families have of making church is because of particular family devotions. What I mean by that? And many families with young children struggle making church because they're so busy. What Jesus is inviting us to consider is that following him, if we put him in second or third place behind our children. And that's a challenge he gives. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And this is a challenge to many of our families, perhaps many of our families coming here. The invitation is, Lord invites us, all of us, to follow him. But who in the world can claim to supersede the relationship with your parents, the relationship between parents and children? Who can supersede that relationship? Look at the commandments. What are the first three commandments? Honor God alone. Keep holy his name. Keep holy the Lord's day. And what commandment follows after that? Honor your father and mother. There is no commandment 3.5, remember your rabbi, show respect to the priests, right? After God, mom and dad. So who can claim to supersede that relationship but God alone? You see, this is, if you look at the Gospels, Jesus is teaching his divine nature, but he does it in a strategic way. I'm quoting here the case for Jesus by Dr. Brant Petrie. Jesus uses riddles, questions, and miracles designed to reveal his identity to those who are open to believing. and to conceal his identity from those who would oppose him. Jesus does not go around shoving the mystery of his divinity down people's throats. He wants them to freely come to believe in him. He wants them to freely arrive at their own conclusion about who he is and how they are going to respond to him. So that's the challenge, okay? All right, love of God. Second, love of family. Now, Jesus is not denying the relationships in our family, the importance of them. He's just putting love of God first. That is, love of him first. But it's worth reflecting on love of family. Because for some of us, it's harder than others. It's like coming to church is harder for some of us than others. All right. In the Hebrew Bible, God repeatedly says that he will be glorified by his mighty acts. And it's fascinating that the same root used in the commandment to honor father and mother is the same word for God's glory. So, for example, after the crossing of the Red Sea, God says he will gain glory over Pharaoh. So what does this mean? This means, like, this is an important commandment. And if we fail to honor our father and mother, then very likely our relationship with God will suffer. We won't know what it means to glorify God. But another fact, in the Hebrew language, it's very concrete. In the Hebrew language, spiritual realities are described by physical words. For example, in Hebrew, the word for anger is the same word for nose. Someone's mad at you and their nostrils flare up. In the Hebrew language, the same word for presence comes from the root for the word face. So in some translations, let your face shine upon us. Let your presence be upon us. But when it comes to the commandment, honor your father and mother, the word honor in Hebrew means to be heavy. So to honor your father and mother literally means to give weight to them, to treat them as substantial, significant, worthy of importance. Likewise, God's glory is his weightiness, his overwhelming significance and reality. Just to put into context, again, Jesus isn't dismissing these relationships, but give God all the weight. But don't forget to give mom and dad some weight too, all right? Third, love of country. For this, I'm taking inspiration from Father Mike Schmitz. I went to go see him in New Orleans. Some of y'all went about a month ago. And at the end of his talk, he had a Q&A, and someone asked about, you know, how can we make sense of the situation in our country? And I've shared this with you before. We're kind of at a difficult point in our country where patriotism is on the decrease, especially among younger Americans. In the past 20 years, there's been a substantial decrease among young Americans who say, I'm very patriotic, or, you know, I'm very appreciative of my country. That number has shifted from the majority to the minority of young Americans today have that sentiment, okay? And so Father Mike's response was justice. He talked about justice. Justice is giving someone what they are due, what they're owed. And he began with Christian tradition, the first act of justice is religion. The first act of justice in Christianity is religion. It's justice to God to give him what is due, to give him what we owe him. And Father Mike talked about how if you look at our relationship with God, God has given everything to us. And so it is not possible to repay God for what he has done. And so what we do on Sunday is principally giving back to God. And I've shared with you before, that's a shift for many of us. Why many of us come to church, our first thought is, what do I get out of it? Okay. But if we start there, I believe more often than not, you're going to leave disappointed. You didn't like the music. You didn't like the homily. You didn't like the person sitting next to you. Whatever. You know, we got all these excuses, right? My theory, I believe that if you come to church putting God first, Lord, I'm here for you. Lord, this hour is yours. Almighty God, I give you myself this hour. I believe your experience with church will be so much better than if you come with a me first attitude. All right? So this is first justice. It's to God. God's given me everything. God, I give you this hour. I give you myself this hour. The second justice is to family. The fact that your mom and dad, your family has done a lot for you. And so our commitment to our family is based on that. It's based on what they have done for us. But in Christian tradition, country has an important place. Country has an important place. So I'm going to share with you some quotes from Thomas Aquinas, who actually puts country on the same level as our parents. This is what Aquinas writes. Man becomes a debtor to others in various ways, according to the various benefits received from them. In this respect, God holds first place. Like I said, God's given us everything. In the second place, our parents and our country, from whom and in whom we are born and brought up. Thomas Aquinas then continues, the debt due to our parents and country is one that cannot be repaid according to equality. What does that mean? I've gotten so much more than I can give. Right? You cannot repay mom and dad for all the dirty diapers. You can't repay them for all the meals they made for you. You can't pay them for all the carpool they did for you. Right? That's the idea. Same with our country. We've received a lot. We can't repay our country for all of that. Okay, so that's what patriotism is. It's the fact that God blesses us through the country. Now, I'm going to share with you a little editorial to cast light on this, right? Pride in country doesn't depend on who is in office, who is the mayor, governor, president. The country is so much more than politics. Mark Twain said, aptly, the only rational patriotism is loyalty to the nation all the time and loyalty to the government when it deserves it. All right? So to the invitation to patriotism, some would counter that America is a set of ideals and we should feel loyalty to it only to the extent that those ideals are realized. But the country and its people are also a concrete reality, and you either like it or you don't. You either feel connected to them or you don't. And you either feel grateful for them or you don't. Nearly everyone who isn't particularly proud of America is still incredibly indebted to it, benefiting from its liberty and prosperity. And so that's why our commitment to the country is commitment, yeah, to the change we want to see. Because we love the country. So that's the invitation. We can ask God to help us do that. All right? So three loves. Love of God, love of mom and dad, love of your family, and love of country. Which of those do you want to pray with in this Mass? Perhaps love of God. Perhaps you have a hard time putting God first. Your life is too busy. Okay, Lord, help me. Help me to put you first. Or perhaps love of mom and dad, love of your family, love of your siblings. Perhaps that's really difficult for you. You can at least start praying, Lord, help me to love with your love, because my love is too limited. Or love of country. And perhaps you could say, Lord, this is really tough for me. Ask God for help. Ask God to grow in the gratitude for the blessings that he has given through the United States. So we pray that we may grow in love of God, invitation to love our family, and yes, our country. May we grow in God's love so we may know the difference that his love makes. Amen.